Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins manager Rocco Baldelli is here. You know, when the season ends, everybody's got to get away. And we were talking about that a little bit off air. But then at some point, you start jumping back in and you look at what worked and what didn't work. And you know where I'm going. I mean, you're 17 games over 500. Are you a game behind the best record in all of baseball? You've had the best record in baseball for about 3 months. You're playing fantastic. And then you win 12 of your last 37. And if you could have changed it, you would have. And there's no simple solution. But do you have any different perspective looking at it now compared to when you're right in the middle of it?
I think I have a little bit of a different perspective. I also think my stomach and my heart rate and my ability to sleep over it has slightly leveled off in a good way. Because in the moment, it's very hard to stay composed and ready to go and not letting anything affect you from the previous day. It was a very challenging season, to say the least. The first four and a half months of the season last year were fantastic. We got very good performances. We got performances from our top players. We got performances from guys that were more kind of role players, guys that came in and did a really nice job. And, you know, as it went so well for about four and a half months, in the last 6 weeks, openly, could not have been more difficult. Could not have got we couldn't have gone through tougher times. And, you know, I think it does make sense. It is a team, and we need to look at this on a team level. But what actually happened? That's our job to mm-hmm. decipher and figure out what that is. Our pitching was not exactly where it needed to be, but did its job, I would say, somewhere in the realm of what we would expect mm-hmm. and what we were happy with. Our offense, we were one of the bottom offenses. And when I say bottom, I mean very bottom in the league for the last 6 weeks. And that was hard to take because we have a good, talented offensive group. Our two best hitters, they were out. Mm-hmm. And when you're out without your best players, these aren't excuses. These are the facts of the situation that Buxton and Correa were not available for the last couple of months of the season. It's hard to produce the same way without them, but we still should have done better. And the other guys were capable of so much more. We just didn't get it. So it's our job to assess that and to reassemble this group in a mindset where this doesn't happen to us again. And that's what I spent the offseason doing.
Okay, so what are you doing? What was that process like to try to prevent that again? And just being candid, how much of that was on you last year? Because the manager gets the cliche is too much credit and too much blame, but you were getting plenty of credit when you're winning, and so you're going to have to assume some of that when you drop 25 of the last 37.
Yeah, it should be my job to explain it. The players will take some responsibility because they're professionals and they'll try to explain it, but that is my job to do. So what do you do about it? What do you do when, you know, we're likely going to return a similar group this year than we had last year? It's not like we're going to—
More than most teams normally do, wouldn't you
say?
Very
much so. Yeah. Very much so. We have a lot of players, a lot of younger players, a lot of guys that are here on multi-year contracts that aren't going anywhere. And they're good players. So why would we get rid of them? We wouldn't. We should roll them back out there, but hopefully an improved edition of them. So when we were having success, we were winning games by truly whacking the ball all around the park. We weren't doing it because we weren't doing it with, you know, tons of speed and athleticism and stealing base. We were doing it by hitting the ball hard. We had big, strong guys up mm-hmm. and down the lineup, and we were hitting homers and doubles. And it was we were slugging our way to success. And that is can be effective, but I think we need to have more clubs in our bag. And I think we need
Don't you think the home run approach is more likely for slumps compared to if you have the variety that you're talking about?
Probably the most concise way of saying it. Yes. I am absolutely in agreement with that. So, you know, what do you do about that? And I think, you know, we did make some staff changes. We have a new hitting department, really, that yep. we're going to unleash with our players in spring training. They're already hard at work. But the goals heading into spring training for our team are to talk about approach and to talk about wearing how to win games when you don't hit two home runs. What do you do?
I'll jump in because yeah. I remember two or three times, and I'm watching, I listen to games here, but I also watch now what is FanDuel, and you going at your team and saying, we had a plan, we had an approach, and our guys didn't follow it, right? Now, some of it, you're just facing too good a pitching. And then slumps, they just build upon themselves. So what is the new approach to the guys? Let's say when you're big three, when your new team sits down with Correa, Buxton, and Lewis, if they're healthy, what are they going to hear that's different? Or is it not as much to Correa and Buxton because they're veterans, it's more to the other guys?
Well, I think it's for everyone. I think it's for all of our players. Correa and Buxton, when they were out there last year playing, they had very good years.
I agree.
They did. They really yep. did. I mean, it's hard for me to say anything but that. Royce showed us more of what he's capable of. He also had a little bit of an up and down season, especially
towards
the end.
He had a pretty hard drop off, right?
Yeah, he did, and that can happen with young players. But it's not about anyone specific. It's about a team-wide approach. And when I say we have to find ways to win games when we don't hit two or three homers in a game, we have to find a way to score five or six runs without hitting two homers at times. When I say that, the way you do that is you make better swing decisions. There are ways to do that. You can do that by, frankly, trying to do a little less, and you actually do it by trying to focus on just simply hitting a line drive somewhere,
yeah, right.
as opposed to taking a really big pass at the ball. Because the bigger you swing, you know, I guess this is, you know, not that funny, but the bigger you swing, like, the harder you fall. The bigger you swing, the more challenging it is to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. The more you have to put into it when you're swinging the bat in that manner. But if you're slightly more under control, aiming to hit the ball on a line, a low line drive somewhere, you're actually going to rein it in, tone it down, and make better decisions on a regular basis, meaning not swing at balls, not miss pitches that you probably could have hit, but to just have more consistent at-bats as opposed to more big at-bats, and then a lot of at-bats where really nothing comes together. So it's about consistency.
Let's pause. We'll go fast through traffic and weather, come back with Rocco. We're going to let him go at about 244, 245 or so, but more with the Twins manager. If you want to send a text, we're not going to take calls. If you want to send a text, I can check those and maybe pose some of those questions to Rocco Baldelli, who's in studio. Text number 651-461-9226. Okay, so let's talk the big three here a little more because they draw the most attention. Let's talk Byron and Carlos. Today, how healthy are they?
Perfect isn't a word we use often in our game, but they're having, you know, pretty close to a perfect offseason. So it was music to my ears every time I get on the phone or get an email from Nick Paparesta, our head trainer. Buck, this is the first time Byron Buxton's had a clean, smooth, normal offseason. Because most every offseason he's rehabbed something. He's had a procedure. He's had something going on. So he's been in a really good spot. He's just able to go do baseball stuff. He's able to go work out like every other player, you know, deserves to be able to do. You would think everyone does this. But he's had to work twice as hard as any other guy every single offseason. This year, he's good. So Correa, the plantar fasciitis has resolved. He's in a good spot. He's been in normal workouts for a while now. So this is exactly what we want to see.
Okay, so with both those guys in games played in a semi-ideal world, you're right, there's no perfect. Can you play Byron more in center field this year? And with Carlos, because this happened back-to-back years, do you have to find a way maybe to play him less at shortstop?
Well, I I think everyone would love for me to sit here and say, yes, let's play Byron more. Like, yeah. Of course I'd love to play Byron every day, 162 yeah. I would love to see. But I think what we're going to see is some sort of schedule for Byron where he's playing just as he was playing last year, which is a lot. And he was on pace to get a ton of at-bats last year. I don't know what he ended up with, 385. I don't know what it was, something like that, maybe high 300s. But he missed time at the end. So if he hadn't missed that collective time at the end of the season, we're talking a good number of at-bats for him. Maybe it's 500 plate appearances or at-bats. So if we get something like that out of him again this year, we're going to be ecstatic to watch him play on a very regular basis. And Correa, I don't think that there's anything that we're going to be able to do as far as schedule that's going to change anything for him. When he's been healthy and fine, he's been good. The plantar fasciitis has shown up out of the blue. It's not like that's something that...
You don't think that's tied in any way to the other health issue, which caused some of the other teams to back away?
Not that, no. There's not one direct link of evidence or anything that we know of from our doctors, from our medical staff, that connects those things. This is something that some players deal with. I dealt with it as a player. Some of the great players, Evan Longoria, that I spent a lot of time with in Tampa Bay, dealt with this on a reasonably regular basis. And sometimes you can play through it, and it's a very painful thing, but you can play through it. There's no long-lasting effects. Sometimes it's too much. I think this is something that we can work through. Frankly, I would like them to play a little more in spring training this year to try to condition their bodies and get them a little more prepared for the rigors of the season. If anything, I think that makes the most sense.
Put it out there, Dave. Rocco Baldelli says Byron Buxton will play every inning of spring training.
That's what I heard.
Every inning, that's what I heard.
Playing all defensive positions.
And also says Vermont is dead to the rest of the United States of America. When Royce said he was tired, I think there were people in the media, I'm raising my hand, kind of went, is that really the message? It seemed like Carlos might have not been thrilled by that also. Did you talk to him about that? Did you talk to him after the season about that? Or what was your reaction to that?
Yeah. So I think that I spoke with both of them, and I talk with both of them a lot. So it's not like this is like a, hey, I call all of the players in the office every time I need to talk to them about something serious or have a con. I talk to these guys all the time. I think what Royce was going through last year was a long season. And what he also dealt with was the first time in his major league career where he wasn't Superman. And I think that that's sometimes a challenging thing for young players to deal with, because our game is set up to see failure at some point. I've never been around a player who has not struggled for extended periods of time in major league baseball, and it's not easy to deal with. And I think that some of that comment was he was beat up and physically feeling it. But also, I think some of it was also the mental beat up that comes with the season. I think those two things probably got to him, which they can get to anyone. I do think that he's more set up going forward, having experienced that last year, to deal with things in a more productive and a better fashion going forward. I think Royce will.
Who is your starting second baseman as of now?
That's a great question. Yeah. Wouldn't you like it if I declared that? Because then we could say.
Yeah, we'll put that after the main should be eliminated from the United States of America.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. The elimination of multiple states is what we're calling for here. There are a few spots in the field, shortstop, center field, the guys that are going to catch for us. Royce will be out there. There are certain spots. We know who's going to be there. I like there to be competitiveness in spring training. I like for guys to come in with no promises attached to their season. I want guys that are going to come in, work hard, and earn a position and earn at bats. And I think there are several spots on the field for us that are going to need. They're going to need that.
Third base, first base.
We have
second base.
We have first base. We have second base. These spots on the field are going to need to be filled by someone. We have several players that have had good runs. They've been good in the minor leagues. Some of them have been good in the big leagues. But I don't think we have one player that is going to hold down first base or second base right now for us. We have guys that are going to have to go out there and earn those spots.
This is a tough one because you're the manager, but I would be I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask it. If ownership would spend money, you might have a first baseman. You might have a second baseman. Does it frustrate you that the position that the Poleds have taken and the sale, where the payroll was one much larger number a couple of years, and it's not close to it right now?
Things like that don't frustrate me. That's not my role to worry about what ifs and hypotheticals and watch, say, what the Dodgers are doing, you know, currently and signing all these players.
They signed Aaron Judge in the last 2 minutes.
They did, too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, the Yankees.
We should make that announcement next. Breaking news, you know? No. We have tremendous support from our owners. The Poleds were one of the main reasons why I came here in the first place, and I wanted to leave my former club to take this position. We have both support on the field and support off the field throughout our organization. Those are the important things that I look for in a stable, well-run, really functional baseball team.
Do you ever go to them and try to make the case? I know you guys have to manage the budget, but if we did this move, I know it goes over the budget, but this could really help us. Or do you feel like you shouldn't even go in that area?
Well, I don't go in that area. And Derek and Jeremy, who run our organization, are responsible for setting our team up. You know, I talk to them constantly. We discuss a lot of decisions or potential players we could deal with or bring in. But frankly, my job is to worry about the players in the clubhouse. My job is to help players improve. My job is to take all the players that we have and work with them. Now, I will say this. The state of baseball, we could have a whole show. I could come back tomorrow and we could talk the state of baseball in a lot of ways. And there's a lot to talk about. It's a really interesting conversation. But, with every team is set up in a different place, in a different market, in a different situation. And I think that we put a ton of the resources that we bring in right back on the field in order to succeed. A lot of, whatever you want to call it. I don't use the words revenue very much. I don't like to talk like that. But the revenue we bring in gets reinvested right back into our club over and over and over again. So any thought that that's not happening that's not true. That's the way that we function as an organization and a really great organization too.
Okay, last one, baseball, and I'll let you go. Everybody's healthy in the bullpen and your face, and the Yankees are one of the elite lineups, and it's the ninth inning, and everybody's healthy. Who's your closer in that situation?
You know what? Is this breaking news, too?
Yeah, well, it depends what you say.
No. The way that
Griffin Jacks was awfully good.
Griffin Jacks
might have been your best player last
year. Was awesome.
Yeah.
Griffin Jacks was one of the probably 3 to 5 best relievers in all of baseball last year. But I also think that you need a team of late-inning bullpen arms to win.
Yeah.
You can't win. Say you had the best reliever in baseball and you had no one to support him, it really doesn't matter that much because your team will not succeed at that point. But Griffin's one of those guys. Duran's one of those guys. Cole Sands was a really, really great.
Probably your biggest surprise last year.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he went from starting and being just okay as a starter to being a truly above average, really good turn two.
And so is the ninth more shared maybe this year?
And it has been. It's like I think about it backwards. I don't work backwards from the ninth inning. Yeah. I want to keep the lead in the sixth and the seventh and the eighth inning to hand the ball to a good pitcher in the ninth
inning. And you've used those guys before. I just didn't know if in the end it was any different.
No, I'll still work.
Okay.
I'll still work through the game as opposed to back through the game from the ninth. I think we have a chance to have one of the better bullpens in all of baseball, to say the least.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chad.
Great conversation with Rocco Baldelli. You'll hear every single inning, every single pitch of the Twins right here on CCO.